Program number 4, A History of Newton Falls and Its Teachers. The Alpha Omega Chapter, Alpha Delta State of the Delta Kappa Gamma Society International, an honorary women educators group in cooperation with the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation, presents A History of Newton Falls and Its Teachers. The written history of the Newton Falls area began when, after much of its territory was swallowed up by New York and Pennsylvania, Connecticut looked westward to Ohio, a strip which she managed to retain from the United States, extending 150 miles westward from Pennsylvania border and about 50 miles from Lake Erie. It was called the Connecticut Western Reserve, which was divided into 10 counties, and Trumbull County was divided into 25 townships. The land now occupied by Newton Township was purchased for $12,903. The settlement began at three different points. The earliest one was at Duck Creek in 1802. The next one at the river near the Milton Line in 1804. And the last at the present site of Newton Falls in 1806. It was purchased by Judson Canfield. He chose a point of the falls where the current was swift and proposed a settlement there. The falls was a midway point on the 82-mile-long Pennsylvania and Ohio Canal, which was then popularly known as the Crosscut or Mahoning Canal. It intersected with the Ohio and Erie Canal at Akron Summit, traveling through Kent Ravenna, Campbellsport, McClintocksburg, Newton Falls, Warren, Niles, Lowellville, and entered Pennsylvania at Beaver. We are proud to note that one of the many mule drivers on the Pennsylvania and the Ohio Canal, and also crew member for the boat Morning Star, was James A. Garfield, who later became the 20th President of the United States. The Mahoning River has two branches concerning which some very interesting facts are told by geologists. Before the Ice Age, the river flowed north into Lake Erie. The moving of the ice cap southward over Ohio blocked the river's natural outlet. When the ice began retreating northward, the accumulation of rocks and debris was left in the great terminal moraines. Consequently, the river was forced to turn southward. This reversal explains the larger and shallower valley of the two branches and the narrowing as it moves farther toward its new outlet. As stated before, the early settlement was called the Falls. It is interesting to relate that the town took its present name from Eben Newton, an early teacher who lived to be 93. He was never sick a day until the time of his death, of which he was ill only a few hours. He was very dedicated, and once, rather than miss his classes, he swam across the river. Much of our nation's greatness has been cradled in a log schoolhouse. In 1812, Newton Falls built a log schoolhouse and laid the foundations of its educational greatness. The first teacher was Miss Cora Draper. At the end of the first year of teaching, she became Mrs. Culler. The school board permitted her to teach another year, but soon joined the thinking of other school directors that the hand of Cupid should be stayed and no married woman could be employed. Mrs. Culler loved nature and forbade her pupils to kill harmless striped snakes. One of her pupils, Barney Allen, instantly dismissed any hired man who killed a snake. After Miss Culler, the school was kept by Jonathan Trescott and Harvey Stowe of Braceville. The pay received by these teachers was $10 per month, payable in wheat, rye, and corn. And we mentioned that Eben Newton was one of the early teachers. He was more accomplished in literature than in navigation. One night he stayed on the east side of the East River and was hurrying to school in his canoe. The river had swollen and there was a swift current. When he was halfway over, his paddle broke and he was drifting helplessly toward the rapids a little below. He stood in the canoe, pulling lustily at the hitching rope, and still it would not stop. He shouted vigorously. Soon, David Hofstetter heard him and called to him, "Walk to this end of the boat and then turn and run to the other, and you will soon come ashore." It was a success. The rebound from his feet propelled the canoe in the opposite direction. Later, Eben Newton instructed others, and they too escaped the dangerous rapids. A log schoolhouse was built in Lower Town, or Earlsville, and taught by George P. Hunter. Another building on Broad Street housed a school taught by Miss Delia Carter. This was called the Little Black Schoolhouse. Dissatisfaction with the public schools began to grow in 1856 and 1857, when there was an academy in several district schools in town. The more progressive citizens wished to unite the schools and form what was then called union schools. The union schools were established, but not without opposition. The first school superintendent was N.A. Barrett, who was called by Lincoln to serve his country. Although none of the veterans of the Civil War are still living, a living monument to them still exists. Before they left for the service, N.A. Barrett joined other soldiers and helped to plant many of the beautiful shade trees standing near the school and in other parts of the town. In 1878, the first commencement exercises was held with two graduates, Fanny E. Philly and Sadie Bosworth. At this time, Mr. John E. Morris was superintendent. Following Morris was Charles A. Neidhart, a man blessed with poverty in his youth, but who had determination and a natural ability to rise to prominence in school and community. He had the honor of being the only local boy to be superintendent of schools. At the end of the school year in June 1885, Mr. Neidhart published a report of examinations based upon the class grades and examination percents for the entire school year. The report showed clearly those who would not be promoted. An average of 75% in all branches was necessary for promotion. He explained that the failure to be promoted was due to non-attendance of the spring term. He gave these students the opportunity to study during the summer months and take an examination in his room at any time before September 1st. Mr. Neidhart, in addressing a class, once said, "I am glad to have the honor of filling every position in the Newton Falls School, from the janitor to president of the board, and finally to be elected as superintendent of my school." At the turn of the century, the school superintendent was Professor W.G. Cope. He was a native of Salem, Ohio, and a member of the Quaker sect. The Newton Falls schools then offered a three-year course of study which required Latin, algebra, geometry, history, and the study of English literature and composition. Superintendent Cope was the supervisor of all eight grades, as well as the full-time teacher. The only special teacher was music supervisor, who taught one period each week in each room. Superintendent Cope often stopped in the grade rooms to check on the progress of the pupils. A favorite trick of his was to carry a newspaper into the room and ask the children to read different paragraphs aloud. On other occasions, he would ask a direct question, such as, "How do you change troy to pounds, avoirdupois?" He always expected the correct answer. Dismissal was much different under his supervision. He would stand in the lower hall where he could see both stairs and the front entry. While he beat a march rhythm on the floor, the students would keep step and march sedately until they reached the street where they were allowed to break ranks. Professor Cope's graduates were well-drilled. Not only could they say the ABCs, but they could also conjugate amo, amas, and amat. He insisted that all members of the graduating classes must have taken the teacher's examination before commencement. This made it possible for many of them to teach in nearby district schools the following year. He was truly a recruiting officer for the army that fought illiteracy. Although no women have served as superintendent of Newton Falls schools, many local women have been teachers there. The greatest long-distance teacher of the school was Miss Alice Butts. She received her diploma in 1897 and taught 43 years in the school of her youth. She retired in 1940. The women educators have contributed much to the intellectual greatness of the Newton Falls schools. It is our hope that the intellectual advancement will equal the advancement in the educational equipment now found at Newton Falls. The memories of school days in Newton Falls are not easily forgotten. Each year, on the third Saturday in June, a classmates' reunion is held. This is well attended by many older graduates and some more recent ones. In 1963, it was decided to honor the class which would be celebrating its 50th anniversary. Miss Alice Butts gave a miniature town pump as a trophy. This is passed each year to the class with the greatest percentage present. These reunions are enjoyed by many, and wonderful friendships of years gone by are renewed. Many times, tributes are paid to those who struggled and laid the foundations which have made it possible for Newton Falls to have a school system which ranks high in the state. To those early pioneers in education, we owe a deep gratitude. Script by Phyllis Lamb and Pauline Bode. Narration by Gene Roberts. These programs were prepared by the Alpha Omega Chapter, Alpha Delta State of the Delta Kappa Gamma Society International, an honorary women educators group in cooperation with the Martha Holden Jennings Foundation, to promote better understanding of the women educators' role in our past, present, and future.